Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry. Hey. Hi.
2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, Oi.
Hi, nice
Hi.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
Right, but when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement,
oh,
don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Well, good morning. The first time I ever saw that video, the thing that struck out in particular was the faces on the men as they were discovering more about the job. But the more I've watched it, the more touching it gets. When you think about the role of a mother and motherhood, and that's why we're here this morning. We're celebrating Mother's Day, and it is a significant day. It is a significant event when God made a woman, and that's what I've titled my message this morning. And I purpose today to take you on a story, a path, if you will, and it's God's path. And first and foremost, it's a path of truth. It's a path of understanding, ultimately bringing us to the destination where we truly celebrate her womanhood and motherhood. I have taught on this subject for 25 years, primarily in pre-marriage class, but unfortunately as well, when I get into marriage counseling, I have recently gotten involved in some marriage counseling, and a lot of what I want to share this morning, I'm taking these young husbands through, I trust that we all recognize when we think of Mother's Day, and of course, the greeting card companies love Mother's Day. Did you know that Mother's Day the most cards are sold on Mother's Day. So we live in a culture, I think it's safe to say, that somewhat honors and somewhat celebrates. But really, to do it justice, I think it's important that we look into the Word of God and the truth of God's design. And the truth will reveal God's purposes. And I hope all of us here, the one takeaway is that indeed she is to be honored, she is to be cherished, and she is to be celebrated. Motherhood and womanhood in all in one. And I usually request to speak on Mother's Day. I know Paul was gracious again to yield the pulpit to me this morning, because I honestly believe all the subjects that I've ever spoke on, preached on, taught on, this one, I'm not ever sure if I do it justice. It's such a profound understanding. Fortunately, as I said, I do get to teach pre-marriage classes, and a lot of what I want to share this morning, I do teach. And I hope today we come away with a deeper, a much deeper or much significant understanding of just what God has done when He created her, a woman and a mother. I can also say that I really believe after 42 years of marriage, all my greatest successes, or what I would consider all my greatest successes, have happened in the role of a husband. But I can also tell you that all of my greatest failures have been as a husband too, when I have not lived up to the design, the truth of God's Word, and I have failed. Mother's Day, it conjures up a lot of warm and pleasant thoughts of moms. My mother has been deceased now for about 27 years, but I still think of her on Mother's Day, raising 10 children, the incredible sacrifice. Many of you know I wrote a book about 13, 14 years ago, Solomon's Seven Secrets, and I paid tribute to my dad, and I paid tribute to my mother, in particular with chapters 2, 5, and 6 in mind. And I lived under this profound influence that greatly impacted my life. My mom, to my knowledge, although I shared with her for years on end, after I became a Christian, I never fully witnessed her confessing or professing a faith or relationship in Jesus Christ. But I can tell you that she profoundly impacted me in these three areas: on sacrifice, and I appreciate Tyler's word this morning. One day, and he was ready to tap out, just the sacrifice that it takes, the servant's heart and the servant's mind. And really, I think moms, at least in my humble opinion, demonstrate what it is to live surrendered. And these are all great attributes of Christians. And I did not know, I will confess, easily confess at the time, I did not know then, but I now see clearly that I lived and I walked among greatness because I had a mother. Amen. And God has blessed me immensely in passing that torch to my lovely bride of 42 years who could not be here this morning. She was under the weather, and she said, but if you really want me to come, I'll come. And no, of course, it's Mother's Day, you know, and it's like, no, sweetie, you can stay in bed and pray for me. Yeah, you know, one of the comments that my mom used to say that always stirred me, she said her greatest accomplishment in life was being a mother. She said that even her dying breath to me. And her greatest joy was watching her children and her grandchildren grow up. As I said, the torch has passed. I've lived with an incredible mother, a wife, and a mom for 42 years, and two grown daughters now, one who is a mother three times, and now even two precious grandgirls. And I hope specifically to implant this vivid picture this morning, and we're going to get to that in a moment, that anytime you think of mom, motherhood, womanhood, that this picture will come to mind. But I am really proclaiming this morning and preaching a revolution to the church, to the world of God and God's Word, the truth of God's Word, and understanding and defining her, the biblical beauty, the biblical worth of a godly woman. That it's so important that men understand these truths. And I know it sounds, the big idea sounds like this. Well, this is Mother's Day. And yes, it is all about moms. But it's really imperative that men carry the understanding above all else. And for you ladies, I want you to understand so that you can define your womanhood and you can defend it, your role as a godly woman. And as a church, that we show the world, it's important that we show the world what real beauty looks like, what a godly woman really looks like. You know, Proverbs 31, Solomon wrote at the end of that great proverb, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And, you know, one of the verses I meditate on every morning as a husband is Proverbs 31:28. "Her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her," meaning that I have a responsibility. And understand that Solomon details in Proverbs 31 what a godly woman looks like, and it's so imperative in Proverbs 31:28 that I embrace that truth, I embrace that understanding, and I praise her. And this was years ago, something to practice that I did in my home when my girls were little, is the last day of the month, I would read Proverbs 31. I would sit my wife down in this chair. It was a Queen Anne's chair, so we called it the chair of honor. And I'd sit my girls down on the couch, and I would read Proverbs 31 to my wife. I wanted my daughters to understand as well the responsibility of upholding God's design. And so we're going to begin this morning with a most significant event. I forgot a passage, and I apologize for that. Lydia, in John 8:32, at the beginning, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And that's why it's imperative that we look into the Word of God, that we get the truth, the understanding that God wants us to have. But a most significant event in Genesis 2, Tyler read this morning, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man." And I start with that first because there's some really significant events about this process. And we all know that Genesis 2:22 is just a breakdown of Genesis chapter 1. And so we've probably heard or read this verse hundreds of times. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. and the deep significance of it. And I want to begin by understanding first that she is made like nothing else in the world. Did you know that, ladies? Did you know that? She is made like nothing else in the world. In the Hebrew word, it could translate fashion. You'll remember Adam was made from the dust of the earth, like all the other animals. But when God created her, he fashioned her. And let's go ahead and put up that first PowerPoint picture. A picture is worth a thousand words, amen? This is what the Hebrew word means when it says God made or God fashioned a woman. That is that she has been made with incredible complexity. And we would know that if you've ever studied anatomy, if you're a doctor, you'll know that a woman's body is what? Much more complex than a man's, right? Very complex. Secondly, intricate in its design. Imagine all the intricacies that goes into building a mansion like this. It still doesn't compare to all the intricacies of design. But like anything else, the more intricate, the more time you put into a design, the more valuable or priceless. And that's the Hebrew word. Complex, intricate, and priceless. And it gets better. Go ahead, put up that next picture. Here is Adam's creation from Genesis 2:7. Now, I tell you, which place would you like to come home to every day? Why does God do that? Why does God make her so complex, so sophisticated, so priceless, and then Adam, like all the other Adama, the Hebrew word means dust? Well, there's a very significant reason. We're going to get into that. And we are living in a time and a day when there is our cultural war on womanhood and a war on motherhood. And it's not just a 21st century phenomena or attack. It's been going on since Adam and Eve were first created, but it is heightening very fast, and we are transcending now into the depths of depravity and into transgender, and all of this is a war on womanhood. But it's been going on, and it's heightened. But the reality is, you see, we have to come back to the truth of design. You see, we have to understand that we have to live by truth, or what I like to say, fly by design. You can go ahead and put that picture up. You see, if we don't, it's just like getting into this one-winged airplane. It can sound good. The engine's going to start up. It can rev. It could probably taxi down the runway. We have any pilots? You took some pilot, didn't you? Bill, is that plane going to fly? Yeah, you see, if we don't live by design, if we don't fly by design, it's everything from calamity to great crash. And that's what we're faced with today. And it's so important. It's so important that the church, the salt and the light of the world, be the standard. That we say no to the culture and yes to the truth of God's word. And I don't know about you, but I had to go up to the dentist this week up in Grand Forks. I broke a tooth, and they were lucky enough, or they were nice enough to get me in to see them. And there on the table was a current People magazine. I don't buy it. I don't read it. I just happened to notice it. And guess what? On the cover, the world's most beautiful woman. And I won't tell you who she is. You can go out and buy a copy if you want. Anybody know? Or anybody see? Okay, you didn't. Don't do it. Don't waste your money. Go to the dentist and look at his latest edition. But you know what? I'm tired of culture trying to define the world's most beautiful woman. Or this one, 3-time married movie star is the woman of the year. Again, I won't tell you her name. Three-time married woman is people's woman of the year. And see, we have to resist all of that. And it's so important that we look into the truth of God's word and see what God says, see what God's designed. Where did it all begin? In Genesis 3:16. After Adam and Eve fell, God pronounced a relational curse on Adam and on Eve. And he said, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Now, I want to make it clear that it's completely restored in Jesus Christ. That's why we teach the husband and the wife in the marriage union seek Jesus Christ above all else, that they reflect the Trinity and they reflect Christ's love for his church. It's all been restored, but this is the curse. Matthew Henry calls it the great relational curse when men and women no longer live by design. You see, that desire is a lust for the role of leading. And his curse, he will rule over you. He will become abusive and he will see himself as superior and her as inferior, better than and less than. And that true or that lie is propagated even to this day in many cultures and many religions. Regard her as less than. It was perpetrated by the devil. It's perpetuated by ignorance and by lies and to the place now where we have willful disobedience. God says through the prophet Jeremiah 6:16, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient path and where the good way is. The Bible in the Old Testament was considered the ancient path. Ask for the ancient path and where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Unfortunately, the prophet finishes that verse with God quoting, but you said, we will not. We will not walk in obedience to God. The willful disobedience of our culture. And the more we see willful disobedience to the truth of God's, the more we see perversion of design. And it's infected the church. That's why I'm teaching on this message today. You see, the next significant event, Genesis 2, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. What is the next most significant event? Do I have that verse? Nope. He brought her to the man. He brought her to the man. Why does God do that? Now we can put up Genesis 2. This is what happens when you make your own PowerPoints. Then he brought her to the man. And he brought her to the man. You see, what God is now doing, he is fulfilling Genesis 2, 16 and 17. When God took Adam and Adam alone, she was not yet created. And God basically said, live by my word or die disobeying it. You see, so when God created her, then he brought her to the man because now it is Adam's responsibility. It is every man's responsibility. And indeed, it's the church's responsibility to carry the truth of who she is. Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. We're going to get to that in a minute. But it's the great response and the great responsibility of men. You know that feminism rose in the 70s. You haven't probably lived long enough like me. But feminism, it's still amongst us today, but I don't think it's as prevalent. You know, we used to have, and Bill and Joan, you probably remember this, but, you know, all these women would gather together and they would burn their bras. You know, all of this crazy stuff, feminism, tearing down women. A foolish woman tears down her own house. A foolish woman tears down her own design. Primarily, why was this happening? Because men more and more abdicate their roles. From Adam to men today. See, the great responsibility of men is to live under authority. Amen. Living humble and submitted. Led by God's word, leading by God's word. Honoring God by honoring God's design. To uphold the truth of God and the truth of God's word. Mother's Day. You know, David said in Psalm 78, verse 4, we will tell the next generation. We will tell the next generation of the wonderful deeds, the marvelous deeds of the Lord. I can't think of a greater truth to propagate and set forth to this day than understanding what God has designed in her. And that's why in the great marriage chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, the most overlooked verse begins in 21 because it is incorrectly segregated from 22 through 34. And what is that verse? Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands, and then we know all the details there. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see, this is fulfilling Genesis 1, 26 through 28, when God blessed them and God said to them, see, Paul or Adam understood what God had created. And we're going to look at that. I live submitted to Jesus Christ. I live submitted to the Word of God. I live submitted to the design. Adam needed a helpmate. I need a helper. I need a lot of help. Nothing humbles me more than living in the presence of greatness. I mean, I probably have an anecdote every day for how finite my brain is. But you see, God blessed them. God said to them, meaning he is to be led by the word of God. She is to be led by the word of God. He is to live in submission to the word of God. And she lives in submission to the word of God. You know, a lot is made of leadership, but not of responsibility. Adam's fail is every man's temptation to fall and to fail and to misunderstand. The greatest example of a leader is simply the example he or she sets. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so I want to just cover now, transition to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, if you've ever read it, you'll note 7 times the words, then God said. Then God said. And whatever God said happened. So we can deduce from that that God's word is the gospel. God's word is absolute truth. There's no alternative path. There's no alternative plan to live by in this life that can bring the blessings of God. And where I believe we need the greatest blessings of God is in our homes today, where men lead and women follow the design of God. He will rule over you. Remember the curse. He will rule over you. He will not follow the design. Who was called first after the fall? Adam was called first because Adam was given the plan first to live by design. So we know 3 things. The Word of God is all creative, has the power to create. It's all powerful. It has the power to establish. And lastly, it is all authority, has the power to govern. For man and woman to live in harmony in cultures and marriage and family, they must live in agreement with and under the authority of the Word of God. Then God said. And here's where, ladies in particular, pay attention. Because one of the things I share in pre-marriage class, and This is the third lesson in pre-marriage class that I'm transitioning to here. The first is that God is a God of order. Yes, He created the man first and then the woman. Somebody has to lead. We can accept leadership in business, in sports, and in every facet of our culture, but when it comes to accepting leadership in the home, somehow, some way, well, I've got a better plan, or we have a better idea. First, that our God is a God of order. And being first doesn't mean being better. It means being more responsible. God is a God of purpose. First doesn't mean more important, but more accountable. That's why Adam was called to the throne room of God when he failed. And lastly, that God is a God of authority. That man and woman were meant to live out under the Word of God. And so Paul writes both 1 Corinthians 7 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as he ties this all together in the New Testament church. Why? Because he knew there would be a challenge someday and one day because of the curse in Genesis 3. And so he writes this in chapter 11, verse 11. In the Lord, however, in the Lord, man is not independent of woman, nor is woman independent of man. See, there's no pride. In a restored marriage and a restored relationship in Jesus Christ with a restored understanding, there's no pride in authority. I'm not better than my wife. I'm not better than any one of you sitting here because I shepherd the church of God. And if I ran a multi-million dollar company, I'm not better than. That's a lie. There's no pride in authority. And there's also no rebellion of authority. You see, those are the two great challenges. And so lastly, just want to talk about, and then we can really celebrate, our God as a God of equality, of accountability. And if you read Genesis 1, and this is something that I take one whole lesson to in pre-marriage to dissect, is the transition from creation and order and responsibility and accountability is we see the transition from him to them. God blessed them. And God said to them. So the first thing we know from God's word is that both the man and the woman have an equal and shared identity. They have an equal and shared identity in that they together complete the image of God. They complete the image of God, of Jesus Christ in His church. Secondly, because they have an equal identity, they have an equal and shared worth. They're children of God. She is my sister. And for all eternity, I still can't wrap my mind around that sometimes. For all eternity, my precious wife is only going to be my sister in Christ. No. It's all good. And most importantly, they have equal and shared responsibility to live under the design of God's word. And 1 Peter 3:7, another verse that is probably often read but misunderstood, is the idea that Peter's conveying here is he's tying together all of Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Husbands, be what? Husbands, be considerate. In other words, to consider what God has done, what God has created, going back to Genesis 1 and seeing the equal identity, the equal value. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect or honor. She's meant to be honored. And as the weaker vessel. Now, just a word about that. Word, the weaker vessel. See, most of the time we equate that as physical strength. What it means is more valuable. That if She is broken emotionally. And we need to understand that as men. And then lastly, what does Peter say? Tying it all up as heirs. As heirs. Not better than, not less than, not more important and less important, but as heirs. As heirs of God in Christ. And again, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. And this is where I tell young men, well, I speak to young ladies, I tell ladies, understanding all of God's design. If you're not absolutely certain that He is committed to this process, this truth of living by design, I would say don't marry. Don't marry him. I say the same thing to the men as well. Husbands, be considerate, understand what God has created in her. See, together they complete the design of God. They bear the image of Jesus Christ in His church. And Adam's pronouncement in verse 23, bone of my bones, the deepest part of me, the strongest part of me, certainly the most valuable. You see, the whole process of her creation was so that Adam would live in a deep spirit of humility before God. The greatest attribute. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be something, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. She is the deepest, the strongest part of me. She's the best part of me. She completes me. That's what flesh does. It's the completion of the body. She completes me. And I simply say this, show me a man who does not embrace these truths and I show you a fool. I show you a fool. This is God's design. This is God's desire. And when Adam woke and he realized what God had done and he made his pronouncement, he understood. He understood. There is only one conclusion. Then God made a woman. And she is to be honored, cherished, and celebrated. Ladies, we honor, cherish, and celebrate you this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these profound and powerful truths on womanhood, on motherhood. God, Abe Lincoln said that no man is poor who has a godly mother. And Father, every one of us here has been impacted and influenced by the touch of Mom. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for your design. I thank you, Father, for womanhood. I thank you for motherhood, and we do honor it today. And as men especially, help us to honor it by living it, living out the truth. Help us to cherish her and cherish womanhood. And then to celebrate it, Father. And we do celebrate today the gift of womanhood, the gift of motherhood. In Jesus' name, amen.